Are you ready for some meatball?
It has been about 6 months. A 6 month hiatus for a variety of reasons. But now I am back. Welcome to the Meatball Composer. So what was with the long absence? Couple things going on. One, I think I mentioned one of my last previous shows that I had gotten a new job in Kansas and my family had remained in Texas. And I just got real busy with learning a new job, new routine, traveling a lot to go back and forth to spend time with my family. And now, with the shelter in place for the COVID-19 pandemic, I get to see my family a lot, which has been very nice, especially after I had been gone and separated for a while. So if I have to be sheltered in place, I'm glad I can be with my family. So I am back in Texas with them and decided I want to get back to the podcast. I had done a few video versions on YouTube. I did 4, I believe. And I decided, you know what? I just have a face for radio, a face for audio podcasts. And it took a while to edit each episode, put it on YouTube and everything, and I just lost that initial buzz I had for, ooh, I want to try doing it a video podcast version. It was okay. I missed this format. I wanted to get back to this format. So now I'm back. So I want to talk a little bit about what's been going on in the world, and a little bit about the upcoming NFL draft, because the Bears are going to be trying to fill a couple spots with no first round pick. They have 2 second round picks, but no first round pick. So I'm going to bring in my friend Mark Jansen, Dr. Mark Jansen, who is a history professor at Louisiana College. We were colleagues for a few years, but we both reassigned to different schools, different states, actually. But thanks to the miracle of technology, we can still talk Bears. So that's the plan for today, for this episode of the Meatball Composer. A lot of the days have just been running into each other. Hard to tell, hard to remember. What day is it again? Fortunately, I've still been able to work, been able to teach my classes online. When you're a music teacher, it makes things more interesting to figure out, especially when you're a band director. And that has been an adventure and stressful, because how do you rehearse? How do you perform a concert? So all things that we've got to either push to the fall and be creative in the meantime. So we're all just trying to do the best we can, aren't we, through all this? I've been fortunate that I don't know anyone personally that I know of who's gotten the virus. And I know that in the grand scheme of the world population that a relatively small number of people have it. However, that doesn't make any deaths from it less meaningful or less significant. And when I see people saying, oh, only X number of people are going to die instead of, you know, X times 10, I understand the sentiment behind that, but still, we can't get used to being happy or okay with any deaths. And maybe one of the things that comes out of this is that we value human life more. And because we hear about death all the time, car accidents, cancer, other diseases, the flu, which, you know, coronavirus, COVID-19 is not the flu, but like some people want to refer to it as. But, you know, we just kind of forget about all that. So maybe on the other side of this, and as we're going through it, we start to place more importance and more value on human life, every human life, and every stage of human life, not just, well, I don't want to get political, but I have been very disappointed and discouraged and frankly angry at some of the rhetoric by people who claim to value or cherish life more than others. So I don't have any words of wisdom or things like that to encourage or anything, but I just wanted to share a little bit about what's going through my head through all this. I have been able to come back to Texas to stay with my family, which has been nice because I was, you know, a couple states away teaching for the school year. So I'm glad that we can be all together, and it's been fun. I've been able to bond with each kid a little more. And two of my kids are now adults. My second oldest had his 18th birthday, so our two oldest boys are legally, officially men who can't smoke yet because they raised ages here. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I guess as we continue through this, and who knows how much longer it's going to be, I mean, I hope we can be back in school in the fall, and back in work in the fall, but it's probably going to take a while to ease back into things, and that's probably the best way to do it. We can't be shut down for months and months and months and months. We have to slowly and safely ease back into things, but we need to do it so carefully so we don't have to do shelter-in-place quarantining again. So I guess I would say keep social distancing as best as you can. That's what we're trying to do too. And there will be an end. You just don't know when that'll be yet. And, you know, maybe as you see people, if you're going to the store or something like that, or picking up food, maybe we see each other as more as people. And caring more about people. Okay, I think that's all I have to say about that. Like Forrest Gump, that's all I have to say about that. Next I want to do, I want to try to talk some sports. I'm going to get on the phone with my friend Mark Jansen, Dr. Mark Jansen, history professor extraordinaire. And we're going to talk about the upcoming NFL draft. It starts tomorrow night, Thursday night. The Bears don't pick till Friday because of the Khalil Mack trade 2 years ago. So we're going to say, all right, what do the Bears need? Are they going to draft need? Are they going to draft best player available? We shall see. So I'll get Mark's thoughts on that. And one last thing here before I get to that. I just wanted to say I really miss baseball. It's the right thing to not have it now, for sure. But man, first time in my life not having baseball. As we go through April, whew, I really miss it. All right, let's talk some football, some NFL draft next.
The Bears! The Bears!
Hello?
Hello.
I'm on the air. Are you on the air?
I might be on the air.
Hi. What's up, Mark?
Not much. Just surviving the apocalypse.
Yeah. Now, can you remind us where you are now? Where are you teaching now?
I am at Louisiana College.
And that is in Louisiana, if I'm correct?
Kansas. No, it's in Pineville, Louisiana.
Yeah, and I have my first year at Tabor College in Hillsboro, Kansas this year, and it didn't end the way I was expecting. I'm sure you were not planning on a pandemic forcing you to teach online.
No, actually, I had it. I booked it some time ago. Yeah, pandemic. No, well, definitely not what we expected.
Yeah, it's strange, interesting times. That is for sure. Now,
for sure.
I am hoping that we will have football in the fall.
You know, I think we will, but people talk about second spikes of the virus, and I mean, no one really knows, I guess. I'm certainly not enough of an expert, and I'm kind of tired of everyone being either an infectious disease expert or a constitutional law expert all of a sudden. Oh, and there's lots of economists out there, apparently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about a political economist? But that's a story for another time. So, let's talk about the draft. Like, everything's going to be normal. Okay. Can we do that? Like, just, you know, things are going to be, because we don't know. That's months down the road.
So you're saying Ryan Pace will trade up and we'll have even less draft picks.
That would be normal.
You're right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Oh, that's not what I meant, but that's a sobering reality. Yeah. Okay.
I 100% do not want that to happen unless it's for a stud QB, which won't happen.
How many of those are there? How many of those are there in this draft?
Two or three, depending on health.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I think Tua is if he's healthy, but man, he gets nicked up a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think Joe Burrow is going to Cincinnati? Is that a foregone conclusion?
His season was just too good. He's too accurate to pass up. And as we know, accuracy is a big deal in the NFL. They all want to go crazy over arm strength, but doesn't matter if you're not accurate.
Yeah, we've kind of learned that the last 2 years, haven't we?
We sure have. And
I still don't understand. Mitch, I thought one of his things was supposed to be accuracy, but I don't know.
Maybe I don't know. I
misread that somewhere.
I still hold to this tiny, I'm please emphasizing this, that it is not a large hope. Tiny hope. That he can put it together, because he still came in with just no experience. Then he played under Fox, and I'm making excuses, perhaps, is one way to look at it. But I think you could, with a straight face, say this is sort of year three for him, even though it's year four. You know, the year you're supposed to be making the leap, and give me a 10% chance maybe of it happening. I'm not saying it's likely, but I still think it's possible.
Yeah. And barely. I think we were on the same page when Mitch first got drafted, that we did not want him playing under Fox.
And then he had to, because Glennon was that bad.
Glennon was that bad. Oh, my gosh.
And then, of course, it's also sort of silly to say that with Matt Nagy for 2 years now, that he's still carrying around John Fox baggage. I mean, at some point, it's kind of also ridiculous. But there still are enough flashes that I'm not completely writing him off.
Well, you know how you can bring baggage from a previous relationship into a marriage or something like that? Maybe it's like that, you know?
I just know what's wrong with Mitch is mostly between the ears, and that can sometimes improve, but it's starting to be a stretch that it would at this point.
And now Nick Foles is here. Well, there.
He's
in Chicago.
Probably the best fit that was realistically available, considering what the Bears had to work with asset and cap space-wise. Knows the coaches that matter for the QBs. Fine with a competition. Good teammate. Not exactly inspiring, though. I mean,
what?
Which he Nick Foles are we getting? Well, yeah, that's the thing.
we're going to get the Nick Foles that broke his collarbone week one.
Yeah, right. Year,
I think
theoretically, the QB room did get better.
Yes, yes, because Chase Daniel is gone.
Right,
and therefore it is better.
I do think Foles Trubisky combo makes me say don't reach for a QB in the second.
Okay.
I know. Right. It's annoying they never draft a QB. I get it. This doesn't seem like the year to do it, when you'll have all your picks next year and maybe a deeper QB class. I don't know. I guess I want guys who can start pretty much immediately in those 2 second round picks.
Well, let's springboard into the draft then with those 2 second round picks. 43 and 50, I believe. Does that sound right?
Yes.
I looked it up here. 43. For now. Yeah.
I guess my point with the QBs, I mean, Hurts is interesting because he's been so productive and won so much, but his arm is like a wet noodle. And Jacob Fromm is all this hype coming into Georgia, and then. Oh, he's so smart. Why does he turn it over so much in college then? I know it's the SEC, but I just I don't think any of those guys are great.
Now, it looks like QBs that could be there in the second round. Jordan Love from Utah State. I know nothing about him. Jacob Eason from Washington.
Too raw. That's what they say.
Fromm, you mentioned, from Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jalen Hurts.
I mean, Hurts is the most
intriguing one.
Yeah, I mean, yes. He does have something Mitch lacks, and that is real confidence, because I think that's the other problem with Mitch. He gets tentative and weird. But I just – if you pick Hurts, which is the guy I'd pick if I'm making a QB the mandate, you at least know you've got some of those intangibles, and you hope you've kind of got a Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson light that then you can develop. There is upside. I just think it's limited by his arm. I don't find that much upside elsewhere. Maybe Jordan Love. I don't know much about him. Point is, this team isn't in build for the future mode right now.
Correct.
But it's always infuriating when they come out of every draft without a QB, except for the Trubisky pick. So, I mean, I can see both sides. Really, I want them to trade down with one of those, get a third rounder, and then they've got a little more to play with. But I guess
– yeah, they need bodies.
Yeah, they have – well, one thing that's been interesting, I guess we could talk about the offseason as we go too, is one of Pace's other calling cards is something I like. I'm not saying he's a great GM. I think it's still very hard to tell. But one thing he does that I like is he tries to approach free agency in such a way that the glaring needs are gone by the draft. There's still needs, but there's not like, holy cow, they have to pick this with one of the first picks. It's more like three or four positions are kind of on the table there. Right? So not that anyone's thrilled with the Jimmy Graham signing, but no signing means you're absolutely picking a tight end with the first two picks.
Yes.
Now it's like, oh, they could maybe wait. I mean, it's he tries to set himself up to take best available, which I do appreciate. But again, needs are pretty clear.
And what are those needs?
O-line, wide receiver, corner, and safety.
So you got the Bears are on the clock at 43, okay? With the 43rd pick in the NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select. Well, what position do you think is going first? I think offensive line.
I think it's either O-line or wide receiver. They spent decent resources on the D already with the obvious Quinn signing. And at some point, they have to balance the expenditure of resources, so picks would kind of help do that a little bit. It's a really deep wide receiver draft, and I think they really should come out of this with a speedster. And
well, they released Taylor Gabriel.
Yeah, I mean, they have that. That is a definite need.
He was supposed to be that guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people talking about second-round short guys that can fly.
Okay.
Like, what's his name? Jaeger from TCU? Or Hamlin from Penn State?
Hamlin,
Those kind of names are floating around the second round. So, I mean, I don't know, of course, but I would be perfectly fine with a burner wide receiver in one of those picks and an O-line or a corner in the other.
I did see Hamlin to the Bears on one of the mock drafts that I saw. I can't remember which one, but I did see that. So, yeah, maybe that is a route. That a route.
Nice.
Because it's a wide receiver.
I mean, at some point, they have to do something to make the offense more dynamic. And I know they need a tackle desperately as well for the future, although Leno's not that old. He's also kind of just okay. I don't think you don't get, like, your bookend franchise tackles at the 43rd pick.
No, not usually.
It'd have to be a great leap from what the scouts all thought. That's kind of their dilemma. The two things they most need, tackle and QB, you're not going to be picking the pick of the litter there.
Yep.
And Ryan Pace, all he does is draft guards. I know they need a right guard to some extent. Ifedi's filling that role. And the guard value there is better. I just don't love it. I don't think they improve the offense that much by picking a guard. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, you can definitely
– it's got
to
be
if there's a need. But I think a burner to take the top off the defense and open up stuff underneath, especially if Foles is the QB, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. It's got to be an offensive player. That I think that's the one thing that I'm really hoping either a lineman or, well, I just don't want the defense is already great. The defense is already a top five defense on paper.
I know there's been a lot of chat about corner, and it is a need, but I mean, yeah,
Tolliver, they seem to be pretty high on.
They got Tolliver. But they still have Shelley. They have the former first round pick from the Steelers. What's his name? Artie something.
Oh yeah.
And they've got the guy from Canada, Roberson, who went to I think ISU. So there's bodies at that spot. I don't know if there's enough bodies even at wide receiver and offensive line, even with the signing of Ifedi and the guy that the Packers drafted, who's basically practically out of the league. I mean, he's just a guy.
Yeah, he's definitely just –
that
yeah,
said,
I was reading about
anytime
him earlier.
You can sign an early draft pick of the Packers that looks like a bust and maybe just maybe he'll pan out for the Bears, let's take the chance to stick it to him. Just don't count on him.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not counting on it. He played – I think the last time he played was 2018 in only three games, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not counting
now,
on it. Yeah, it's a body. It's a training camp body.
So, corners got more guys in that competition, I feel like. They're flat out is not a speedy wide receiver on the team unless you count Cohen. The rest of those guys aren't take-the-top-off-of-defense guys. And I just think that's what they need. I mean, look at the Chiefs. The Chiefs have like three of those guys. That's
yeah.
That's what they have. Yeah. But I mean, does Mitch look better if guys are running wide open? I mean, not that Mahomes isn't amazing, but that whole thing is amazing.
Yeah.
With an amazing tight end to go with it. So I feel like wide receiver is definitely in play based on what Nagy wants to also to do. And it's the one need where you're like, hey, they didn't replace Gabriel at all.
What kind of receiver does Riley Ridley project to be?
He's a crisp route runner, but not a speed guy.
Okay. All right. So he's like a two.
Oh, yeah, or a slot maybe.
Okay.
I mean, Miller's probably the closest to it, and he's tough to figure out because of the shoulder. I do know he's open all the time. Like, if there's anybody who's going to benefit from a switch from Mitch, if it's because he's overthrowing people, boy, Miller could have a big year if the ball – gets to him when it's supposed to, because he does get open, but he's still not a burner. But I wouldn't be mad if they're like, we love this corner. I'd be like, okay, fine. The position I hear media members talking up is safety. That would probably irritate me, actually.
Me too, because the kind of safety that the Bears really need is not a free safety ball hawk. We've got that. Eddie Jackson is that guy.
Yep.
We need a strong safety, someone the eighth guy in the box, someone who can go up and stuff.
And you've got a couple that always play okay. And they definitely don't need to use the second on that guy.
No, I totally agree. And I saw a couple mock drafts that had a Bears pick in the safety. I don't remember who it was, but
I know people talk themselves into it because of position depth. I mean, that's kind of my point on this supposedly historic receiver class. That, you'd get the best safety at that spot. Yeah, but who cares? It's not an impact position. If you want to pick best available player and he just happens to be a pass rush, I'd be like, you know, because it's your top 10 pick and you just want to stud everywhere you can get him, great. But you're talking second round now. You need starters, but filling out the roster.
Yeah, and there's a better chance of getting a starter on the offensive line or wide receiver.
Yeah, because of the unique
someone
draft
on the
with receiver. It's just like tight end. They still need one, even though they have 10 of them.
Yeah.
But they don't need one with that pick, not right now. They should trade one of their lower picks, later picks, for O.J. Howard if the Bucks are going to do that. Because that guy's only 25. He has a ton of upside. Bruce Arians doesn't really use tight ends much, which is kind of weird with the Gronk thing, but I guess Brady's the coach and GM or something.
They just got Gronk. You know, they're going to roll him out of.
But that'd be, I think, a great use of a fifth or a sixth or whatever to trade for Howard. I don't know what a market for him is going to be.
Yeah.
I would be very interested in that.
Since you brought up the Bucks, why is everybody calling the Bucks Super Bowl contenders now? You know, this reminds me of that one year. I think it was 2000, maybe 2001, where the Redskins signed Bruce Smith and Deion Sanders, and like on paper had a great roster of guys from the early 90s but it was, you know, 2001.
I mean, this is
the this is the team. Go ahead.
These are the best weapons Brady's had in some time, but I don't know that they're good at what Brady's good at.
And Brady's 43.
I know, but he can wring more years out of his body. Don't you ever hear him say that? I think Brady's the most accomplished football player ever and the best quarterback ever. Well, and in the short conversation for best player ever, he's up there. I'm not trying to take away Brady, but I would – how many times do the Patriots have to give up on someone and then them not be that great before we're all like, you know, I know Brady's kind of like the ultimate test of this, but – mm-hmm. If he was still really kicking butt, I don't think Belichick lets him get out of there. I think Belichick's like, it's been a great run. Let's see what we can do without each other because you're kind of just okay now.
Yeah, you know what it really reminds me of more than Jordan anything else is the Jordan exactly Jordan to the Wizards. And I don't know if you heard the talk back then, but the talk around Chicago fans was, yeah, the Wizards are going to win a championship because they got Michael Jordan, and Michael Jordan only wins.
I think,
and, you know, cooler heads were saying, I don't know about that. But to me, that's the closest parallel of what we're seeing
now.
I think,
like, I mean, you have to have an all-time great going to a team at a really old age. And, yeah, I think the Bucks will be potentially just as good as New England. They could end up around the same win total. I could see them making a playoff appearance because of the seven teams thing. Just like I think that gives the Bears a better chance. Super Bowl's pretty out there for me. I mean, they're not better than the Saints.
No.
That's the division. They're not better than the Niners. How's their offensive line? That's really the question because he can't move at all. I mean, like, he's going to have better weapons and he's got to get the ball out quick and Arians doesn't like doing that. And then – how's the line? I don't know anything about their line other than that the Bears feasted on it 2 years ago.
That's going to be interesting to see. Brady behind a not Patriots offensive
line. Yeah, because I think that's the thing that's not getting quite enough attention. But anyway, the Bears.
Yeah. Bears. Back to the Bears.
So, yeah, I just think receiver, O-line, corner in some combo for the two out of three is good with me. They really like a QB, and they're really – committed to developing one finally. Okay. I just don't know if it's the draft for that, even though I know we need to start picking them way more often than they typically pick QBs.
Yeah. Theoretically, can you pick a guy with 50, a quarterback at 50, and say, all right, you're going to sit behind Foles for this year and maybe next, and then we'll see
I don't
what
know.
You got. Could that be a possibility?
Yeah, I mean – Russell Wilson went in the third round for some stupid reason. You know what I mean? Like, it happens.
Sure.
It's just pretty rare. But I guess there is logic to saying, keep swinging. I just think they might be better served to swing next year. And
well, Tom Brady was a sixth round
pick. Well.
I'm sorry.
Derek Carr maybe is a comp in this. He's a little earlier than this, early second, but still. It's just, I mean, there's examples, but man, they are really rare.
Yeah, they are the exception for sure. For sure.
But, you can always talk me into let's take a shot at a QB, but I really think wide receiver corner, wide receiver O line, corner as an alternate option. I really want receiver and O line. If the board has good players I don't want to reach just to fill a need, but.
Yes, yes. Yeah. If the best available lineman is taken, great. If the best available wide receiver is taken.
But I want to say that what I'm really happy about is they moved pass rusher opposite Mac off of the board here, which makes me very happy. Even though maybe you'd say Quinn got big money, guy's been ultra productive and I think it's pretty exciting. I know people are like, why the defense more money? I know, but if you liked him better than anybody else on the free agent market and you said none of these guards are as impactful as this edge rusher, then sure, sign the edge rusher.
Yeah. If you're playing the Bears this year, you better hope you never get to third down. You better hope you're getting first downs on first or second down because third down is going to be scary.
If we're really honest, what the Bears have not understood for too long – on offense, is football is about creating matchup nightmares. They never do that on offense. They never have enough receivers for you to be that scared of them. They never have a quarterback who's going to just kill you even if you do everything right, i.e. Mahomes. They just don't do it. The Bears historically don't do it. They need to. But what they've done here is create a matchup nightmare the other way around. Because you can't double-team all four of them when you think of the ones that matter being Goldman, Hicks, Mack, of course, and Quinn. Mm-hmm. And we tend to forget Goldman's pretty much doubled 24/7. And then so is Hicks when he's in. And Mack most of the time gets chipped at least until last year when there was no Hicks and he was more doubled, I think. I don't know. But Robert Quinn crushes double teams. Like, this is a very interesting front seven all of a sudden. And we haven't even talked about sending a blitzer like Roquan.
Oh, yes. Yeah. By the way, stuff has happened with the linebacker since we
there's a lot to talk about.
Really. Bears, Nick is gone. Nick Kutkowski is gone. And to me, I'm like, okay. I mean, he was a fine guy. I'm not, you know, broken up about it or think, oh, they let one get away. Oh, I think, yeah, a good depth guy. He's going to get a better opportunity somewhere else.
Okay. I know there's a certain segment of the fans who wanted him over Trevathan. I am surprised their money came out similar.
Ridiculous.
Danny Trevathan's, at least right now, a better player.
Absolutely.
And I think they wanted to keep him for the Roquan factor as much as anything. Mm-hmm. And by the way, how amazing is the locker room that we still don't know what happened with Roquan? Are all the other things that drive you nuts about Pace and Nagy? They have created a pretty awesome culture. At any rate, Kwiatkowski to the Raiders, fine. I'm just glad he's not in division. Because one of the things you want to get to as a franchise is where you start to have enough good draft picks that you don't keep them all. I mean, I know it sounds kind of weird, but that's what good franchises deal with all the time. And the Bears under Pace are starting to be that team on one side of the ball. Now figure out the other side.
It reminds me of the Packers having Matt Hasselbeck on their roster for a while. And what's his name? Eagles coach. Doug Peterson. Wasn't he a Packers draftee Favre for a while?
I mean, at some point, you want to get to where – this is the thing. They have to draft better, period. And most of their biggest gaffes, not just because of position, but I mean like productivity, are first-rounders. But you get Adrian Amos in the fifth, and was he a Pro Bowl alternate a year ago? And then he signs decent-sized contract, and you realize he's not good enough to keep because you have Eddie, and he's a Packer. Kwiatkowski goes in the fourth, doesn't look good in coverage the first couple years, has a nice year last year, always good against the run and good blitzer. Productive player gets a new deal. Yep. You need to do that consistently so that when you do lose the Trevathans, then you flip it and keep the Kwiatkowski. That's what the Patriots are constantly doing. They're rotating guys in and out. Sometimes they lose the young one. Sometimes they lose the old one. But the Bears have been so bad at drafting basically since early Jerry Angelo when he was pretty good at first that we haven't been able to do stuff like this. So, I mean, it's nice to be like, hey, our draft pick is wanted elsewhere. I know it sounds silly, but it's a good thing.
No, I get it.
Now make it to where the first round picks are good enough that you freaking keep some of them. Ryan Pace next year will not have kept any of his first round picks, most likely, except for Roquan.
But that's a pretty darn good one. That's
but like Mitchell be gone, Floyd's already gone, Kevin White's basically out of the league. Yeah. Like it's crazy how bad the Bears are in the first round for whoever the GM is.
But, you know, out of all those picks, the only one that I really scratch my head about is Leonard Floyd. And arguably, he had the best career of those.
For leaving out Roquan. Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
We leave out
Does
Roquan,
Mitch's
yeah.
year last year, is that better than any year Floyd had? Maybe. It's just too hard with the QB.
19 or 18?
18, sorry. I don't, yeah. So
yes,
then I'd
say Mitch
is
actually 18
a better pick.
Better,
don't forget they also traded up for Floyd. And there were concerns about him not rushing the passer enough in college, and then he sucked at rushing the passer in the pros. He's a middle linebacker that doesn't have enough, I don't know, musculature to play that. Because what he's good at is defending the run and covering. He's just not a pressure. But like, that's what he was drafted to be. So I think that's, in a way, even worse. Mitch is only skewed because it's QB and the other two in his class.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing with Mitch is those other two, especially Mahomes. But, like, Kevin White, I look back, that was the right pick.
It Everyone said they should pick him.
You know? Yes. Yeah, so I don't really fault Pace for that one.
Bears' luck is so bad in the first round and so bad with quarterbacks that until those things change, it's just they're always fighting this ridiculous uphill battle to compete. It's sad. Yeah. I mean, not just because I'm a fan, but they do so much right defensively over and over again, and they still can't consistently win because where they miss, it's too important.
Yeah. I think I figured out, like, every 17 years, they nail it on a first-round pick because, you know, you have Roquan and
No, Roquan I do not claim 18, him as one of them. Okay? We don't know yet. I need another one.
You don't? Oh, I need okay. All right. I believe in Roquan. All right. But all right, then go back. Let's go back to 2000.
Yeah, I believe in Brian Roquan Urlacher as well, but I don't. Okay. I'm trying to claim another one for us. Yeah.
Okay.
He's,
all right.
He's, well, as long as he plays.
Yeah. And then go back 17 years before Urlacher, back to 1983. Is Jimbo Covert. Yeah. Jimbo. Hall of Fame Jimbo Covert. And all the first round picks in between all those years are
yeah, pretty much. Or they're fine and they're too stupid to keep them, like Greg Olsen.
Oh yeah, that was.
If anything, the biggest problem they have is they keep getting guys in the first who are hurt or end up hurt right away. Both the tackles, Chris Williams and what's his face? Oh. We talked about on the phone the other day.
Gabe Kareem.
Injured
bad.
Yes, Gabe Kareem. Yeah. Kevin White injured. There's got to be another one.
Bad.
Leonard Floyd with the concussions when he started Williams. To figure it out. And then he never got back to that level. That's a stretch. Colombo, yeah. He had a good career later, but he blew out his knee for the Bears.
Yeah, with the Cowboys, he did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's.
One of the transformative drafts the Bears had under Angelo was when they did Hester and Danielle Manning in the second round with two picks.
That
There's
was
my
pretty
dose
good.
Of optimism.
Except for Danielle Manning screwing up coverage in the Super Bowl, leading to that first Colts touchdown.
Didn't he botch the play against the Packers the year they should have won the division under Dr. Death?
Was that Danielle? No, that was although, you know, what's his name? Then he went
oh, you're right. It was Conti.
Chris Conti. Thank you. I almost said Chris Harris. Chris Conti. That was.
So, cool. Other things on the draft that move beyond the Bears, if you don't mind.
Av, go
what
for it.
What are the Lions going to do? Absolutely. Are they really the key to this whole thing? It sure feels like they got a lot of interesting options on the board. I hope they screw it up. They don't deserve
they
this,
will.
But, you know, in the division and all.
They'll either screw it up or pick a all-time great wide receiver
and
or running
retire.
Back who will retire early because he's too discouraged from being a
and
Lion.
Yet Gronk retires early and comes back to be a buck. Anyway, I mean, they could go
well
a number of routes. What do you want as a Bears fan out of what the Lions are sitting on?
I want them to trade their pick to the Bears.
And then that's we pick Tua.
Nah,
you know,
that,
we'll
know.
Give up too
know.
Many picks. We'll set them up, possibly.
I guess so. I don't know. Let's see. I'm looking at the Chicago Tribune right here, and Big Z has them taking Derek Brown from Auburn. Defensive
really?
Tackle from Auburn.
I thought they wanted Jeffrey Okuda.
Yeah, that's what Big Z. I don't know. That's, I'm just telling you what Big Z says. You want to argue
no.
with Brad Biggs?
Maybe. Probably. I don't know.
You got to choose
now,
your
that guy's a freakish no, athlete for sure. That would be bad because if he's good, that's a pain to try to deal with. Pick a corner and we can just throw away from
and
him
I'm
if
not
he's
too
good.
Confident.
If he's bad, it won't matter. I don't want him to trade it because that's how you sometimes set a team up for the future. You know, like the Rams for a while profited big time off the QB trade up trade.
Yeah. NFL.com. No, excuse me, CBS. Their draft has a cornerback.
Yep.
Jeff Okuda from Ohio State. So maybe they are leaning defense. Maybe there's feelers out there saying.
I know there's people saying they're going to pick Tua and stash him for a year and bid Stafford farewell.
I doubt that. Stafford's still got stuff in the tank.
Unless that back thing is worse than we are told. It's the NFL. It's always possible that they're, you know, being shady on an injury. I have a hard time thinking the Lions will pick Tua because they're so snake bit in general. They're kind of just asking for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he'll be a Patriot. He'll be, like, amazing.
Yeah, probably. Of course. But, yeah, that's a good – I didn't think about that, like the Lions picking third and how that sets up.
I mean,
how
the rest because of the first two picks seem so draft. Sort of obvious to everybody.
Burrow and
– Chase Young.
Yes,
assuming they still want to give Hopkins a chance at QB or whatever his name is. Haskins? What is that guy's name? You know, the Ohio State guy that the Redskins picked. I can't believe I'm like,
I don't know. But he's on
I'm saying right because now? They have their young QB from – yeah, it's Haskins. From last year that they picked like 12th or 15th or whatever – that they aren't interested in a QB until they know what they have there, so they'd be all over the pass rusher. And then by the third pick, the draft would kind of be interesting. Whereas the first two seem like they're sort of foregone conclusion.
Yeah. So they could not just the division make the whole league.
Like, will the Dolphins trade up for Tua? Will Tua fall to the 20s because of injury concerns? It's like the Lions and Tua are the big stories going in right now.
What if Tua fell to 43?
Forget everything I said. Come on. His arm is incredible. He's way too good to pass up with the Bears situation historically, but I would be terrified of the injuries. But if he falls that far, I will be stunned. The whole
draft, I would too.
You know, there's the draft and there's the QB draft. There's no way. It's more like if he falls to 22, do you want to trade up and get him kind of thing? I don't think he falls that far.
No, probably not. That would cost you both second rounds, too.
I wouldn't even be surprised if he goes third or fifth or something. Like he's just a giant wild card because of the injuries. Otherwise, he's right there with Burrow.
You think he's as good as Burrow?
I think the NFL thinks he is.
Where he would go in the draft.
They love his arm talent. They go for that stuff a lot of times. I think Burrow is more polished, but Tua might actually have more upside if he could just stay healthy. I think people forget how good he was when he came in when he was healthy. I also saw a couple people talking or heard or whatever that teams in the NFL are not worried about his hip because it's not the Bo Jackson hip, and it's been 30 years since that was a problem. But they don't think his ankle ever healed, and that's what they're worried about.
So maybe he's a pocket passer.
Could be.
Not going to be able to. Well, it's going to be interesting to see. Are you going to watch the draft?
I don't know yet. I do know that I will be checking it out at least initially just to kind of see since of the unique circumstance could be somewhat interesting. But so I don't know if that counts as watching, but I probably won't watch it for very long. But I will definitely be following it like crazy some way.
Yeah, I thought about doing a live draft show here on the Meatball Composer. But I really don't care since the Bears are picking until the second
next
round.
Year they have a first, I think it'd be fun for sure.
Oh, please have a first. Yeah. And maybe tank this year and then draft the kid from Clemson. What do you think about
that? If their defense wasn't good enough, I'd be all for it. But their defense is good. I mean, that's the kind of drastic thing you do set a franchise course. But I don't think they can, unless they're all hurt. That would be the perfect storm. Everybody that matters is hurt, but not in a meaningful way for the rest of their career, and they can get Trevor Lawrence to pair with the defense from then on out. Sign me up.
That would, wow.
And you extend Allen Robinson.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. Yeah. Well, hey, do you want to touch base after the draft?
Sure.
And do a little breakdown?
We can pretend like we know anything about these people, just like all the other people on radio do.
I like the pick at 50 when they took...
I tell you what, give me a quarterback with a good, strong name. None of this Grossman Trubisky crap. I want Hurts. That's the kind of QB that you win with.
No, that's what you want your linebacker to be named, or your defensive end. You want him to be named Hurts. The Bears have too many quarterbacks.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts is a good, strong name. Trevor Lawrence. Lawrence is a good, strong name.
Maybe we
could do that. Yeah, that's a Bill Simmons theory. Trevor. Like he's actually written about the QB name theory.
Hmm.
Exactly what he's talking about.
That's Mahomes. A good name for a quarterback.
Watson. These are good, strong names. Trubisky. Maybe we should have all seen it coming.
Yeah, but Trubisky
sounds
like
Chicago.
Chicago.
And so he comes to Chicago and is pretty much a Chicago quarterback, isn't he, Chris?
Yes, he is.
On that happy note.
All right, my friend.
No problem. Thanks
for jumping
me.
In.
Go Bears.
Bears.
Hopefully, we will have a football season a few months down the road. Let's see. April, May, June, July. 5 months. 5 months to September. We'll see what happens. If we're not ready, we shouldn't have it. Obviously, that's the right thing. Got to do the right thing here. But if it's able, if things have settled down and it looks like, you know, this thing's more under control, we've got some treatments for people that's going to help save lives, and, you know, whatever measures that need to be taken that we can slowly get back into some kind of normal sports world, obviously I'm all for that. But it's got to be worth it. We can't just storm back like nothing happened. So I guess we'll just wait and see. I want to thank Mark for joining me, talking about the draft. And we'll check in afterwards and kind of break down what the Bears ended up doing. Other big draft picks that went down. As we talked about, we assume that Joe Burrow is going to be headed to Cincinnati. But maybe something crazy happens and something unexpected. Boy, that would be fun, wouldn't it? So we will just wait and see. But thank you for listening. I appreciate it. And I'm glad to be back doing this format. I'll try to have something every week. We'll see how that goes. In the meantime, take care. Wash your hands. Wear a mask if you're out and about and you have one. And take care. Be safe. And bear down.
You've been meatballed.